The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Wednesday, the 9th of August, 2023, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. Now, you know, if it's a Wednesday, it's a on-the-clock Guardian Radio AM mashup session. Cecil Newry is on his way up to the studio, apparently for the troops. We're going to have a lively discussion this morning about what's in the news. Again, it's Wednesday, the 9th of August, and let's start the show with our Sand Dollar Live read. Tomorrow, Thursday, the 10th, and Friday, the 11th of August, central bank representatives will be giving out sand dollars at Fresh Market, Old Fort Bay location. Show your sand dollar-enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend $18 or more in sand dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. This offer is limited to the first 100 customers to show their sand dollar-enabled wallet at each location. One top-up per person, so as many people as possible can experience the sand dollar. For more details, visit any of the sand dollar social media pages or call 302-9880. That's 302-9880. And now on to our on-the-clock sand dollar trivia giveaway. Every day for the next 2 months, we'll be giving away sand dollars to digital wallet holders. Every week, players can win up to $300 in sand. To win, you must have a digital wallet and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number. Hold the line if you get the question correct. You'll be transferred back to the producer to confirm your information. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. You can only win once. Again, you can only win once. So here are the numbers to call: 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. That's a toll-free number for people in the Bahamas, but not in New Providence. And again, the text line is powered by BTC. 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. Here is the first question of the day. When was Dr. Joseph Robert Love born and when did he die? When was Dr. Joseph Robert Love born and when did he die? First question of the day, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Remember, if you're answering by text, your digital wallet information has to be in the text with the correct answer, all included in the same text. Again, you can only win once. We're looking for the birth date and the death date for Dr. Joseph Robert Love. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Morning. How are you doing, Erin?
I'm good, thank you.
That is good to know. There's another Man Down Mashup Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
I hope you are prepared.
I want you to know I'm very prepared.
Yeah, very prepared.
Yeah, because I heard you were bringing people.
I'm bringing people.
So and I bring mango.
And you bring mango.
No matter how many people you bring, I have enough mango.
Good.
For them.
Good. 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 But so what the day's topic for the mashup show is, what's trending in the news?
Basically what's trending in the news. There's one particular issue that we're not going to get into.
mention but not get into?
We go read what we see in the paper.
We just read and see what in the paper.
Yeah.
Are you going to give an explanation on why we're not going to get into it, or are you just going to...
Oh, no, we give an explanation on why we're not going to get into it.
Okay.
It's the headline.
Okay, let's see what the headline's about. Let me put on my earpiece and then I can hear you clearly.
Nassau Guardian, Cornish resigns at PM's request.
Cool.
So I can tell you right now why we're going to mention it, but we're not going to get into commentary.
And just for the listening audience awareness, when you say resign, you mean from his position as chairman or position as an MP?
It would be not as chairman, because I'm not sure what he is the chairman of.
Okay.
I'm not sure if those organizations have asked him to resign in the light of the charge or potential charge. That's an aside. The Prime Minister last night released a statement indicating that he had requested and then accepted the resignation of the Emperor North Abaco.
But that's my question. A resignation of what?
And just for
the Prime Minister's office.
Right, he's the Parliamentary Secretary.
Okay.
And he was asked to resign and said resignation was accepted.
And for a listening audience, that means that he will continue more likely to be the Member of Parliament for North Andres. But just not the Parliamentary Secretary.
Right.
In the Prime Minister's office.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Just want everyone to understand that what's happening. But go ahead.
Right. So we're going to read directly from the article. And if you want, we can read directly from the press statement from the Prime Minister as well.
Why not?
All right. Here's the article from today's Nassau Guardian, top of the fold. Cornish resigns at PM's request. Prime Minister Philip Davis announced yesterday that he requested and accepted the resignation of North Abaco Member of Parliament Kirk Cornish as Parliamentary Secretary in the office of the PM, as the MP is set to be charged in court today. Davis said the Director of Public Prosecutions decided to bring charges against Cornish, though he did not disclose the nature of those charges. Police said yesterday that the 48-year-old man of Abaco will be arraigned in a matter regarding allegations of sexual assault and threats of death. Police said the allegations were made by a woman in April. In a statement, the Prime Minister said, quote, I have requested and accepted the resignation of Mr. Kirk Cornish as Parliamentary Secretary in the office of the Prime Minister. His service to the government and people of the Bahamas is acknowledged with gratitude. I want to assure the people of North Abaco that efforts to build opportunities and relief in your communities are on the way and will face no interruptions. An independent director of public prosecutions has determined that there is sufficient evidence to bring charges. It is now up to 48 years our judicial system to resolve the outcome. So I will not be providing additional comment except to say that my prayers are extended to all who are suffering because of this matter. Close quotations. Let me stick a pin there.
That's a beautiful close quotation, by the way. And it's void of any type of interference. It's going like, let's just prevail.
Right, or the casting of blame.
Yes.
Which is, I think, a very mature statement.
Yes, very
statement.
Mature.
Are you calling to answer the trivia question?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm ready for you.
Dr. Love was born...
Caller, are you a previous winner? I am so sorry, caller. If you are a previous winner, you can't play again.
I'm not a previous winner.
You're not? You sure?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because you can't get me in trouble. Okay, good. We good. Are you ready for your answer, sir?
Are you born on October 2nd?
What year?
1839.
Yeah, and when did he die?
November 21st, 1914.
1914? Yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
That's the correct answer. And to transfer you back to the producer, confirm your information, and I'll contact you after the show to transfer the funds.
Congratulations again.
Thank you, caller.
But are you going to give a narrative of who Dr. Love is?
No, I can let you give a narrative on who Dr. Love is.
Man, that's a big question. I'm not even sure if I'm...
You're the most qualified, sir.
Let's see how I could explain this, because this question is beyond me. This is for historians. Well, he's born in the Bahamas. He moved to Haiti, moved to Jamaica, educated in the United States, priest, doctor, politician, academic in general.
Mm-hmm.
He is the most prolific black person who started the movement, the civil rights movement in general, in terms of Marcus Garvey, who is America's father of civil rights movement, in terms of Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, everyone contributes, the Bohemian, Dr. Love, as starting the movement for all of this.
Okay, stick a pin. Ahead. So Dr. Joseph Robert Love is a Bohemian hero. He was honored this year posthumously in the National Honors. Here's our second trivia question for the day. Of the three names that Mr. Newry mentioned just now, Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, and Marcus Garvey, which of those three pioneering advocates, human rights, civil rights, pan-Africanists, which of those three is Dr. Joseph Robert Love known to have mentored?
Okay.
That's a trivia question.
Okay.
Out of the three men, Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, and Marcus Garvey, which of the three is Dr. Joseph Robert Love known to have mentored?
And the key word is mentored. That's a personal relationship.
Yeah. Mentored. Imagine that. A Bahamian on the cutting edge of global development. Okay, so let's get back to the article. Mm-hmm. Remember, guys, August 1st is Emancipation Day, and so we're talking all things emancipation for the month of August. Let's go back to our article. In a statement, Cornish, a progressive Liberal Party MP, said his attorney advised that he will face charges this morning. Quote, "The charges are based on allegations which are totally false," close quotes, Cornish said. He added, quote, "I am fully confident that the facts which emerged during the judicial process will prove my innocence. I look forward to ending this nightmare. The facts will show that this was a breakup that was manipulated and exploited for political reasons and nothing more. The truth will set me free," close quotes. In April, Cornish was taken into custody by police for questioning and released that same day. Weeks later, police said they were still reviewing the case, and Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernandez said the acting director of public prosecutions directed investigators to, quote, "some other lines of inquiry," close quote. Last month, Cornish came under fire after he told a group of churchgoers that he is the Prime Minister of Abaco. He later apologized for his comments. Quote, "there's only one Prime Minister in the Bahamas, and I serve at his pleasure," close quote, he said. Stick a pin there. I got a caller on the line. Let's start it off. Good morning, caller. Are you here to answer the trivia question?
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning. How are you? You're not here to answer the trivia question 52?
Well, it would be Marcus Garvey.
Yeah. But,
Marcus Messiah Garvey.
52, you see your information, right?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know it is.
Of course it matters.
I guess I could. I just came on the line. I didn't have a chance to talk with any producer.
Well, 52, I'm going to call you. You better have a $100 wallet by the end of my show, please.
I don't even have a dollar. You got me the $100.
I beg in 52. Anyway, we're not engaging in commentary about the matter at this moment, 52.
Yeah, but I just wanted to make something that I think was important, because my good friend, Mr. Mark Palmer, I thought he was correct. So being that me and him may be around the same age, the answer that he gave yesterday was correct. So maybe you want to check it out. You said 1838,
right.
Abolition.
No, so no, 1838, the end of the apprenticeship system.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I don't know if this is relevant here, but you remember when they passed the Ark in 1834?
Okay,
because they loved the planters society so much, the field slaves were given 4 years, and then the field slaves were given 6 years, and the indentured servants.
Okay.
So he still would have been correct, so it would have actually been 1840.
I got you.
That's what I learned in history, so I don't know how could it be any different.
But no, man, thank you.
Field slaves, because they love massing them so much. Have a good day.
Man 52, thank you. You know I ain't mad at you. Thank you.
I thought Mr. Palmer was correct, but he said he thought it was 1840.
Yeah.
So if I had called, I would have given the same answer, because I just that's how they taught it to us.
I got you. Guess what? Right. You know what happened, though? We were saved by the bell. The person who answered that question yesterday had already won before.
Yeah.
So we were saved by the bell. But 52, thank you for sharing that.
All right.
I appreciate that. Absolutely. Okay. Mr. Newry, you know we don't need to read the rest of this. You want me to finish reading this article?
I have a different aspect because our guest is here also,
yeah, so
right?
Let's try.
And I want to throw out this question and see if this is appropriate.
Yeah.
You know that when a case is before the court,
yes,
we tend not to talk about it.
Right.
And I since we have someone who is learned in the law, I would like to know, can she explain what is it that that can be, people don't do it.
Right, and why in particular, because on my show I say it all the time.
All the time, but not necessarily for us,
right,
but in general.
For the audience, when a matter is before the court, rules apply about how you can talk about that matter in the public domain, right? And that's one of the reasons why we are restricting our commentary today on the matter. And I've chosen just to read directly from the article. But there's a rule.
Yes.
Right? And so...
I gave you the opportunity to introduce our guest today.
All right. So, like I said, it's a Man Down mashup on the clock Guardian Radio AM Wednesday. We got a guest joining us in studio. We're waiting on Mr. Ian Munnings, our regular guest. Ain't nobody I like to row with more than Mr. Munnings. But joining us this morning is Mrs. Kenra Newry. Good morning, Ms. Newry.
Hi, good morning, Ms. Green. It's such a pleasure to meet you and to have a discussion with both you and CA this morning. You put me on the spot in terms of the legal aspect, but that's fine. You would have read what the acting DPP had to say about the matter. And I think it's important for you and Mr. Newry to know that when you have matters of that kind, it's very, very difficult to have an honest conversation because you really don't want to cause there to be an issue with picking a jury. You don't want too much evidence to be dispensed into the public domain before the case has had an opportunity to be heard by the courts. So I would be very cautious to say anything further about the matter.
Yep.
We allow the judicial system to take its course.
Yep.
We allow the prosecutions to lay their evidence and to have our peers listen, and that being the jury, to what evidence is being put forth. So that would be my only commentary on that. And I'm just speaking from my personal... Yeah. And I'm on vacation.
Absolutely.
And I decided that this would be a good opportunity to join both of you because I've always wanted to come on the show.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're here on this day. Again, to my listening audience, to the callers, we are not talking about the MP, the Cornish matter this morning. We want to provide or ensure that we don't in any way prejudice justice or hamper the case. Mm-hmm. It's about a balance of rights. While we have the right to free speech, we also have the responsibility to not injure or damage or unnecessarily negatively impact a case, people's lives, something that's happening. As simple as that. Please bear with me. Just all I can say, please bear with me. We will provide information as it's published in the newspaper, and that's it on this matter, until it's resolved or it's moved, we can talk more about it. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to prejudice justice in any way.
In the future, I would like to have a conversation about the legal system regarding such cases, not this case.
Yeah.
Like, does this go to Supreme Court? Does it go to Magistrate Court? I don't know.
Yeah.
Does one person get bail or don't get bail? I don't know.
And I mean, to you, I got to go to this caller, but understanding how the judicial system works.
Yes, that.
Right? Builds trust.
Yes.
In the citizenry. Let's go to this call. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. We're not discussing the Cornish matter. How are you? Oh, I'm sorry. You hang up.
Yeah, you're running the callers away.
No. I'm not running them away.
Every time they call, I mean, it's like the sixth caller. Remember, she's answered the phone call. They just hang up. What do you think they want to talk about? But let's go. Continue.
That's all right. We're going to be responsible this morning.
Is there nothing else in the news? I thought there was a whole bunch.
Oh, but listen, Miss Newry, first of all, I wasn't sure why you were invited here this morning, so I brought mango. Whenever people try, I bring mango. Anyway, I had a number of things. Producer, let's check this phone line. There's a headline in this week's news. 2 dead, 4 injured in Exuma traffic accident, right? And I was very concerned, particularly after putting in a quick Google search for traffic fatalities in Exuma to find out that Exuma may have an issue with dangerous driving mm-hmm. and traffic fatalities. I'm going to stick a pin. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock, Guardian Radio AM Man Down Mashup Wednesday.
Good morning, Aaron Green. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
And good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Blessings to you.
The Mashup Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wow. There's an interesting topic on the news about Emancipation Day and Foxhill Day.
Yeah.
And I feel that the lady raised an interesting point. I feel I should raise it with y'all.
Okay.
And see what your audience think.
Okay.
She says she should be a holiday, Foxhill, 2 days holiday.
Emancipation Day and Foxhill Day?
They all fall in line.
Okay, but what was her reasoning for Foxhill Day to be a holiday on its own?
Foxhill Day was, you know, it was a slave plantation. They were the last one to get the message. And they have a lot of stuff.
Well, let me debunk that narrative. They weren't the last one to get a message. That was contrived years later after Foxhill Day has been
But they got some sleep. They got something, right?
No. It was all made up. That's
all made
to
up. You got to show me that.
It's good marketing. We've had guests on to explain how that narrative that it took 7 days to get from Gambia to Foxhill,
yes.
And that's why the Foxhill celebrates 7 days later. We've had guests on to dispel
the
myth.
Fred Mitchell, then we had the historian from Foxhill, also Mr. Tynes. And then we recently had Wade, last name is?
Davis.
Davis. And also we had Chris Curry. All of them mentioned it on my show.
I think even Vera Chase would have mentioned it.
And Foxhill Day was started via the churches. It wasn't started for emancipation. It just happened coincide the same time.
Now, listen, at the same time, right, I think that Foxhill, the community, right, one of the communities on New Providence that has expended the energy of detailing their history and their cultural evolution, right? I think Foxhillians should sit down and look at the entire history and figure out how to petition for a holiday for Foxhill.
Yes, of course.
First of all, I like holidays, Mr. Nuri.
But depends on how rich the history is.
Man, look here, it's so rich when I asked...
It's so rich,
listen,
it is there for holiday.
Pumpkin Eater, it's so rich when I asked what does Don't Mind Livingston Josiah is the JP, right?
Yeah,
when I ask people to say what that mean, the boy call in and say, do y'all know a man by the name of Bagado? And Bagado used to sit on the wall at Miriam Roker, the educator's house. And he was the comedian. And the people tell me, this is the part here, Pumpkin Eater. The people tell me, if you ain't from Foxhill, you ain't gonna know what that song is about. Which suggests to me that Foxhill has a distinct culture that has been detailed in music, poetry, and comedy.
Language, the language and everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Pumpkin, I'd like to add, Foxhill has its own nuances. And I think it's important for Foxhillians to sit down and write their history. I find that we're very, very lax in recording our history.
Right.
And when it comes to Foxhill, just walking around, you have a sense of history. We have parts of Foxhill that are named Congo Town and various different towns. And when when you go around, walk around Foxhill itself, the park.
Mm-hmm.
The park has so much history. It's vibrant. Last night was a very prime example.
Mm-hmm.
You had persons that came far and wide, including Foxhillians who lived in Foxhill all their lives, moved and came back. And everyone wanted to see climbing the greasy pole. That was such a joy. We sat next to some people last night who said, oh, I only come out here just to watch this and get some fritters.
Yeah.
After that, over, I'm going home. I said, but, you know, really and truly, what do you love about Fox Hill Day? She said, girl, I've been doing this from when I was a child. And I just love being out here with all the people.
Listen.
And the atmosphere. And that is what needs to be captured.
That's right.
So, because we are Bahamian people. And when you go to different areas of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. every single island has its own nuance. And I think it's important for our children to know, when you go to Cat Island, what could you find in Cat Island? Mm-hmm. When you go to Auckland's, what do you find there? When you go to Andras, what's Andras known for? What's the culture there?
Well, I'm not just a Fox Hill gal for when I get married.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Pumpkin.
Do our community center.
Yeah.
And yes, it's beautiful.
That's an ideal place.
Absolutely.
For those
activities. Yeah, Pumpkin Eater. It's deeper than that. Watch this. When I was in my early 20s, right?
Uh-huh.
I used to walk from the top of Johnson Road to Ed White's bar to shoot pool. I done win so much beer. I didn't even drink beer at the time. I done win so much beer shooting pool in Ed White's pool hall. I used to be able to walk from the top of Johnson Road down to the middle of Step Street and then walk back home. In fact, I got robbed one time. And when I get robbed, I say, boy. This guy jump out the bush. He say, Bunny, that's you? Man, next time, say something. They was going to rob you if you did say something, right? Like, I'll give you a sense of...
So it was a crime-free area, eh?
You don't mind that part. The point is this, is that if Fox Hillians document their culture, right?
Yes.
And their history, when it come time to make policy, right? They can sit at the table and say things like that. This, right? Listen, people, Fox Hill is a walk-in community, and it's an external. People enjoy and their recreation time outside of their homes, which means that you need to have lights.
Right.
You need to have street lights. You need to have lights to light up the road for pedestrians crossing the road. It means that you have to have public toilets. Right, even if it's porta potties, and that you pay to buy them who like to sit on the block, you pay them to sit on the block and manage the toilet and make sure nobody go in there and mash it up.
Well, that's why I say that started with the Fox Hill community.
Right, yeah, man, Pumpkin Eater.
They can look at all of that along with the.
But that's how you ensure that you preserve your culture and the most important parts of your historic development by.
And that's where the money comes in too, so.
But no, listen, the money comes in when you, the Fox Hillians, can present policy papers to the government.
Of course.
And you could sit down and say the Fox Hill Association, in collaboration with the other NGOs and civic organizations in Fox Hill, have developed a 10-year, 20-year, 30-year plan that shows the economic value of roadside fruit vending.
Right. But you remember what I told you?
To show the government that they have to raise the sidewalks. They have to
provide
they have to provide the things to enable people to make money the way that they can.
Right.
Yeah.
But you remember I told you we celebrated 50 years.
Yeah.
Where do we go for the next 50 years?
Absolutely.
It's the plan right here.
Yeah. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
Have a good day.
Yeah, man. And Fox Hill could be, because I mean Fox Hill is, right? A trailblazer for communities. Fox Hill is the community that said, look here, outside of, we ain't no constituency, we're a community, right? And they've held their community identity within the political constituency construct. And I think that's very important for community organizing. I see you got a red light there. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green.
How you doing? Now, listen.
Morning to you and your guests.
Yes, sir. Now, listen, we ain't talking about the corner.
But Cornish.
Good,
I
don't
eat one but Cornish hen. I ain't eat one but Cornish hen. I can eat some Cornish hen later.
Yes, sir.
But listen to me.
Uh-huh.
Fox Hill has such a rich history.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at a government entity,
mm-hmm.
and we had about four or five people that used to live in the Fox Hill area,
mm-hmm.
and they never come to work on Fox Hill Day.
Mm-hmm.
Never. And the man couldn't say nothing to them because they ain't coming.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is they had a girl used to hang with them, so she used to have to come to work. You know the girl going and look for an apartment in Fox Hill?
Yes.
She has to live in Fox Hill to get that Tuesday off?
Yes.
You're not compelled to go to work on Fox Hill Day if you are a true Fox Hillian, you know. They can't cut you or fire you for that day.
I love it. We're going to put that in paper.
But another thing, too, though, before I go,
yes.
Foxtel is so rich.
Uh-huh.
Foxtel is one of the only thing in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Foxtel is the only place with a prison. No other place has a prison.
This is true.
Okay?
Yes,
put
sir.
Put that near Street Book, though.
Yes, sir?
All right, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
How you do? Turn your volume down.
Turning it down now.
Yes, ma'am.
I know you're not talking about the Cornish thing. I've heard it a few times for the morning. So
okay, good.
Listen, I wanted to find out if you saw or heard about the Missouri-Alabama brawl.
That's what we plan to talk about later on, but we could start it earlier.
Yeah, we could start now.
That's why I asked if anything in the news.
Yeah.
And that's what I came to talk about.
But listen, you mean when when Alabama Strong turned out to be Alabama Wrong?
Amen. I like the gentleman that swam across the lake just to get a piece of that action.
Now, listen, I object to you defining it that way because it would suggest that he is just a rabble rouser who was looking for an opportunity to fight. That young man.
He saw a person, I guess, that looked like him, seemed to be getting attacked. So he wanted to make sure, help defend
his fellow employees.
He's like one of them football guys who come in to bring up the box.
I got you. He was a 16-year-old
employee. Let's start a narrative,
yeah.
Right? I have you call back just so you can join in, so we'll start a narrative.
Yeah.
Because there are several questions I want us to address and deal with and whilst we have our guest here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this happened about 2-3 days ago, right?
Yeah.
Montgomery River. And it happens that one of the dock employees were accosted by a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't calling a race as yet. And it accosted, and the security officer, the dock master, said, I need to move your boat because this big
commercial vessel
needs to park.
Yeah.
And of course, that caused an altercation, right? And he's trying to explain, no, your boat needs to move because the commercial vessel needs to park.
And in fact, apparently what happened is that they tied up. Mm-hmm. And then ignored him.
Yes.
And went about their business.
Yes.
And he went about untying them.
Yes.
And attempting to push the boat off the dock so the commercial vessel could pull in.
Yes.
Yes.
And of course, this started an altercation,
mm-hmm.
right? And exchange. Eventually, it became a piled up in terms of he got ganged.
Yeah.
Right? It got ganged by three, four, five persons gang on him. The scene became emotional. Persons who saw it, other black people who saw it, reacted and say, hey, he needs help.
Mm-hmm. I want to note that some white people who saw it reacted as well.
They started recording it.
Well, no, they didn't. I'm not sure if they recorded because we haven't seen their recording yet.
Yeah, so.
But a couple of white people.
Let's say, how they reacted? That's just since you interjected. Go ahead.
So if we look at, if you saw the videos, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
We can see a video where a couple of the people from the boat approached the security officer.
Okay.
Right? One guy was being very aggressive towards him.
Yeah, we already passed that.
No. Another guy who was a part of the party came in and tried to cool him down and calm him down.
He can lock up too.
Yeah, but he initially really tried to calm his brethren down.
Yeah.
His brothers and sisters down who were getting upset at the security waker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and see the music didn't stop. But let's just speed it up so we can go back to commercial break, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Eventually, it became a brawl. It became a brawl between black and white people. And the conclusion, you know, if anyone inside this party is wrong, who's wrong? Should there be any charges levied against any particular person?
Mm-hmm.
And is this an impetus of a future race war because of the interaction or the commentary of various black people said, this is for slavery and we're getting back. Then that's what we're going to talk about on another side of the show after this commercial break. This has been a mashup Wednesday.
This is a mashup Man Down on the Clock, Guardian Radio,
yes.
AM Wednesday. We'll be right back after the break.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day, boy.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
You need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us, boy, one big contract. And nobody else get a chance, and nobody say nothing.
Boy. You know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to come, a whistleblower.
You know he's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Okay, school bag, books, pencils, uniform, oh Lord, and I gotta buy snacks too? Just lay it
on the line. The Guardian Media Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever Back to School Snackathon. What's a snackathon? Well, we want to help by assisting in donating school snacks to children that may need them as they head back to school this year. To be a part of our snackathon, all you have to do is shop at your favorite Solomon Superstore or Fresh Market. At the store, you can donate existing loyalty points, or you can donate cash directly at the register. Every single penny will go towards purchasing snacks that will be donated for distribution by the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Together, we can ensure that every child that opens their backpack this year will have a snack and a smile.
Get involved, get involved.
Good morning, and we're back. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green on this On the Clock Guardian Radio AM Man Down Mashup Wednesday. Joining us in studio is Mrs. Kenra Nuri, and we're talking about the Montgomery, Alabama brawl. And I got a text here that says, Miss Green, this brawl don't have nothing to do with us Bahamians. The text say,
And agree, but go ahead, read the text.
The text say, now the fight in the swimming pig in Bahama would go on down with that. We were not aware of that because the guests at Bahama are classy, fancy people, and they don't pull out their cell phone to record. And if they do record, they don't send it to any and everybody, so your information get out there when you expected it to be private and amongst friends.
But I wanted to give commentary on whether this have anything to do with us.
Yes.
It has a social impact on all black people. And this is why we have reacted, right? And I think that needs to be investigated. There is a vocal commentary amongst black people. And of course, there's a retort commentary amongst white people. And that's be it in the United States, in the Bahamas, in Jamaica, wherever it is, England. They all are giving commentary regarding this incident, right? And one of the commentary is, this is for the subjugation of black people. So these people deserve it. I'm concerned about that narrative. I wonder if that narrative is something that the general public need to be concerned about. Because if it is a response to how black people over the years, over the centuries have been treated, right? A warranted response. That means there's going to be another response after this.
Right, but I think it's slightly more nuanced than that. I think this is a response to the constant declaration that this is a post-race America, right? African Americans are constantly saying, and in fact, Obama would be the center of a lot of this critique, that this black president meant nothing for black people, not truly, that African Americans have not been liberated, or that non-African Americans, particularly European Americans, right, and those who would consider themselves supreme to African Americans in America, that they have not liberated themselves, that they have not given up on racism, that they are still perpetuating these things. I think it's an important moment to look at. I think for several reasons, again, why have African Americans responded this way in 2023 to something that could be handled so easily in the courts, right? Like it's on video. We see that the guy was attacked. why would they still feel the need to mete out justice?
So, but Ms. Nuri, why do you think they feel the need to react so violently or respond, say, I need to go help, I need to go and fight, I need to go and defend?
Maybe it stemmed in some previous activity mm-hmm. that happened before. I read a few things online that indicated that there had been some history with this family and this particular worker. Mm-hmm. And so it may have stemmed from that. But the fact that you had a whole mirage of persons come to assist him mm-hmm. made me think that perhaps there was some kind of underlying prejudice or even concern for that particular employee mm-hmm. that they felt the need that they had to step in. I don't know. I had asked what was the significance of throwing his hat up.
Yeah.
I didn't understand, but perhaps it was his sign of frustration.
Well, you know, now that you say it, right, people are saying, oh, that's the bat signal. Yeah. But when he threw it up, right, you see that people...
I didn't want to take a juvenile response to it.
Right,
because really and truly, we're supposed to be adults. We're supposed to be able to handle conflict
yeah.
and to have this discourse. But the fact that he threw up his hat meant that to me now, all of these things coming out, shows that he had a level of frustration. He's been dealing with this for some time and had had enough.
More than that, if you watch the video, you'll see that the lower dock where the private passenger boat mm-hmm. was tied up, there's a considerable height, mm-hmm. right? It mm-hmm. drops about, it looks like at least 10 feet. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like you said, that these pleasure cruisers have created issues at this dock before. The dock staff are aware of them. This particular worker has interacted with them. I think that throwing the hat in the air is a protocol. That's a signal for real that I have a problem. I'm as high in the air as I can.
Alert his employer,
To alert the people on the upper deck.
Perhaps.
Right?
Perhaps.
That there's an issue.
I didn't get none of that, no. I thought he quit. You know, a frustration when you take off your apron and you just throw it down and say, okay, I off the clock. I think he threw it up to say, man, the hell with this job after this.
I share some more information with you. It turns out that apparently this dock site was previously, hundreds of years ago, the site where they sold enslaved Africans.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes,
so
and they sold Africans all over the United States. Every dock, every site,
but this,
every part.
This particular dock, right?
I'm Listen, sure the other docks too.
Let me throw it out.
Look at these people.
Let me throw it up in the air, Mr. Nuri. It's Emancipation Weekend. Mm-hmm. Now, the U.S. celebrates June 19th.
Yes. So this is months after their emancipation type thing.
It was Emancipation Weekend in the rest of the African diaspora. Mm-hmm. Nobody sent out a letter that said, if you're African-American, you can't celebrate with us, nor can you feel the spirit.
Go ahead.
Right? On that site, that man called for the throw his hat in the air. He threw a prayer. He said, ancestors, I'm calling on you now. It's eight of them, and it's one of me. And see, you think he was going to quit his job. Here's one thing I know about black African-Americans. He ain't quitting his job on Emancipation Weekend on the dock where they used to sell enslaved Africans because eight white by them tried to rush him. Tried to rush him. That's a win. That's the one day I ain't clocking out, buddy. My arm could be broken. The ambulance can be trying to take me, and I can tell them, sir, I just need to clock out this day. I just need to sign. I want these people to know I work a full day today, and I expect 400 years of compensation for what I have suffered through on the job.
I see we have a caller here. Let's patch that caller through, producer. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio. That's not Guardian. It's On the Clock with Aaron Green. Go ahead. Mash of Wednesday.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Green and Mr. Nuri.
How are you?
Sparky on this end of the line.
Go ahead, Sparky.
I can hardly hear you in a car trying to get somewhere.
You ain't driving though, right?
Hello?
You're not driving?
I can't drive. I wake up Sunday morning and couldn't walk.
Oh, geez, Sparky.
Your boy can't walk.
Okay, Sparky.
I don't know. We're doing some time. In fact, I'm on the way now to do some blood tests.
Okay.
They think I might have some toxic something, maybe they're referring to as gout in both knees.
Okay.
All inflamed, all swollen up, and I can't put my body weight on it, so.
Okay.
I'm being taken to the lab now to take some tests, and then we'll go take some x-rays and see what is working and everything, so.
All right.
I'm getting around. I'm getting around listening to the show. So I'm calling you from the car today.
Yes, sir.
It's a strange thing, you know, and I'd admonish him and stuff. Hey, but take care of your health and use them bush leaf teas and things, because you could be late in the morning and you wake up, Miss Green.
Mm-hmm.
But they say nobody knows the hour needed today.
That's right, Sparky. Listen,
you wake up in the morning, you go to bed watching TV, and you wake up in the morning, you can't move and put your feet down on the ground to get to the bathroom.
Yes, Sparky. Listen, when you speak to your doctors, ask them if you could employ thyme tea as a therapeutic aid, right, for your gout in the knees.
Yeah, I did that also this morning. I got taken around to do some grocery shopping and stuff.
Yeah.
And then finally I ended up to the doctor and all the other stuff. And then I got home and I started this morning. I did them doing the soursop leaves. I started a detox program.
Okay, but Sparky, remember the most important thing is that you have to make your doctor a part of your bush medicine routine. You have to talk to your doctor about everything that you're consuming, okay?
Stand up. Thank you very much for that advice, too. But what I was about to say, I called in to tell you a joke. And the fox said they saw the ceremonies and everything like that.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, the community of Foxville is also the only community in Nassau where they sang a song about a lady. I want a fox said, yeah, right?
That's right, Sparky.
I told you that story. That's my aunt, right?
Sparky. Yes, I know Sparky. That's your auntie.
But hold on.
Yeah.
The story is the fox said, yeah, I'm from Foxville.
That's something.
The fox said, yeah, from the corner of Shirley Street of Man Camp Road.
Yes, sir.
But she was a star. She was the fox said, girl.
I got you. Thank you so much, Bobby.
Happy Foxville Day to all your legends and sisters up there in the East.
Yes, sir.
From the Princess Margaret, not the Princess Margaret prison, the Queen prison, anyway.
Yeah, there you go. We know what you're saying.
I pray you feel better soon.
Yes, Bobby. In fact, the nation prays. We're going to be praying with you, Sparky. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for sharing the news. And thank you for reminding us, right, that even the Fox Hill, the most Fox Hill of Fox Hill gals wasn't from Fox Hill, but she knows she wanted to be from Fox Hill. What's up, May?
And I wanted to also add that in the Bahamas, we've had tourists, right?
Yeah.
Just happened to be Anglo, right? Who has had altercations with our police.
Uh-huh.
And then we see that regular citizens joined in, right? To protect our police force officers.
Yeah.
Right? And of course, we even had an incident at an incident in a restaurant when the wedding party got disorderly and started altercation with the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the staff joined in, right? But this, because these things happen.
Yeah.
Right, especially in tourism and in
service industry, yeah.
Right, but this seems different based on the subsequent narrative of people who watched it.
Right,
not necessarily people who participated. It's just that the people who watched it is given a different type of interpretation of what happened.
All right, let's go to this call and then let's go back to Ms. Nuri because she has some background information that may help us understand better what happened at the Montgomery River. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, talking voice along with you and your panel, Aaron.
Good morning, Bremen. How are you?
We need justice, law, and order in this country here, the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
But I'm holding, thank God.
Yes, sir.
I am forced to answer this, ask you this question because I constantly think of it. One is, when I was a youngster, right?
Uh-huh.
Before I was a teenager,
mm-hmm.
my daddy used to take me in Fox Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And Fox Hill used to be scornful with Dilly on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, recently I've been up there, and I was standing outside a shop. I was looking for something, and I was standing up to wait on the jitney. Right? Hold on. I was standing outside the shop to wait for the jitney, right?
Mm-hmm.
And out there felt, and I observed out there, to be like a city now. What's happening out there?
In Fox Hill. Right.
Yeah. You know, I can't see, right?
Yeah.
And in those days, I could have seen.
Fox Hill is going through rampant and rapid development of small commercial enterprises in the community. Right?
Uh-huh.
And I think if I could speak from what I see, I think what's required is for the Fox Hill Association to, they need to initiate a Fox Hill Business Association. And
okay.
The Fox Hill Association and the Business Association need to partner up. And they need to sit with the constituency office, right? Because they need town planning, but they also need to have a pivotal role in the policy making about their town planning, right?
Boy, it's decent up there nowadays.
You have economic development with small businesses, but those small businesses need to be facilitated to communicate with each other because they could each be evolving faster and more sustainably
feed off of each other
if they work together.
Agreed.
Here's another issue, and this is a perfect example. With the rapid economic development in Fox Hill, right? And the cultural aspect of Fox Hill, of the roadside vending, it's obvious that Fox Hill needs a car plan. You've got too many walking people in Fox Hill for cars to park on sidewalks and for cars to park in the areas that pedestrians use. Now, the problem is this, is that the businesses, because of the nature of the upstart of the business, they're taking advantage of access to a lot. The lot is not necessarily designed for business and is not set up for parking, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the first things that should be done is form a business association, partner with the Fox Hill, the general association, work on that. Where can sidewalks be put in? How and where do we need to raise the road because of extreme flooding? Right?
Drains.
Because people with cars are endangering pedestrians because the car don't want to be in the water.
The streets are wide. I noticed that.
Well,
some parts of it
are very wide, right?
Right.
And so that's a part of the next 50 years, like Pumpkin Eaters say, planning for the next 50 years. Mm-hmm. Fox Hill would be a great model. Right?
Yeah, because very much so.
Fox Hill still has a blend of city and country and rural and island.
Good.
Right? Like the community I live in, people they don't move out of there unless they have to because it's a lovely blend of island and New Providence city.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, man.
Now I got a picture of what's happening.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And so the larger business establishments should spearhead.
Mm-hmm.
They should lead the way. They should use their resources to begin the organizing and then find a way for the smaller businesses to contribute economically, right?
Yeah, because what I've noticed, right, businesses, I've been two up there, they have their business like way in, not too
close
too
to
much
the road.
On the street.
Yeah.
You see?
And that's because of the lack of parking and because it was a walking community, it was a horse and cart community. And so the development, they have to develop in pace with one another and in alignment with one another. And that's the best way, I think, for them to go at it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But surely, Aaron, I want to piggyback off of what you said, because surely there should be some responsibility of government to ensure that the infrastructure is in place.
Exactly.
It really annoys me that you can have a day's worth of rain and also have a puddle. Puddles and rivers at certain intersections of Fox Hill.
Yeah.
Bernard Road in particular near the Cotton Tree.
Yeah.
Then as you approach the Fox Hill Park, there is flooding and it ought not to be because there should be proper drainage. You're talking about an area that has more than 100 plus years. We have seen the various hurricanes and we've seen natural disasters and whatnot.
Yeah.
And we know it's systemic for the area that these certain parts are always flooded. You also have new communities that have sprung up in the Fox Hill area near SAC where there is extreme flooding and there is no proper drainage system.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's supposed to be a government initiative or if it's a public-private partnership, something.
But what we do know is this, is that private people can't just go out and raise the roads. Private people can't just go out and put sidewalk down.
Of course not.
You know, they're restricted from that activity.
Petitioning doesn't even seem to be working in some constituencies of the Fox Hill community.
Yeah.
So what is it that is a community minded
to
do?
I can tell you what to do right now. Here's what people in the Fox Hill community should start doing. You got excess water everywhere. You get pump companies, pumping companies located and based in Fox Hill. You petition those, right? We're going to collect the water. We're going to build a storage container. We're going to collect the water. We're going to clean the water. And then farmers can access the water for irrigation purposes in the dry season. Now, I know with all the rain, a lot of people, y'all don't even remember what a dry season looked like. We've had torrential rain. But there will come a time when there's a dry season. Mm-hmm. And imagine you could be collecting this water and cleaning it and then making it available to people with agricultural pursuits. And then those people in the community who do rely on their fruit trees and community fruit trees for economic revenue, you water them. You have access in the dry season, you just water them, right? And you have to wait on the government to do that. You can build your own facility to store the water. You get the pumping trucks to collect the water and distribute the water when necessary. And you figure out how to pay them. You figure out how to generate enough money to cover the cost of the service.
That's what it boils down to at the end of the day.
Yeah.
For it seems for all of those kinds of very brilliant idea that is something that's absolutely needed. Yeah. But the irrigation and the purification of the water is necessarily going to cost a lot of money.
And then that's the part that we have to figure out.
That's the part we have to
Another thing that we don't think about, right? How our personal culture impacts community culture. Watch this. We have a lot of properties that need to be remediated. They need to be renovated because they are in disrepair, but the condition of the property is now a nuisance for the wider community. Mm-hmm. The property is not being repaired because families are still in contention about who has ownership, who can put the money in and who can get it out. Communities are falling apart because people have this attitude that I have money, I don't have to talk to these people, I don't have to resolve this, I could live my life. Meanwhile, your community is waiting on this matter to be resolved so it can move forward with community development.
Yeah, that's a serious social problem that we have.
Absolutely, that impacts at a community level and a national level. That's the music. That means it's time for us to take a break. In the break, we're going to have a competition to see who could finish this mango face. Me and Mrs. Newey, Mr. Newey can't get in. This one is because it's a man down. Mashup Wednesday, on the clock, Guardian Radio, AM. After the break, we're going to pick the conversation back up. I want to talk about traffic fatalities. I want to talk about me watching the boy pave the sidewalk in a puddle. Bahamians are brilliant, I say. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, Mr. Newey is going to take control of the mic. You've been on the clock for this portion of the show. We'll be right back.